Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
One of the most important things of being a professional is being able to move on and to prepare for whatever's next. And, you know, it's key that, you know, whether you're having success or you're going through a tough patch, you've got to be able to compartmentalize that, learn from it, and then be confident and move on and be prepared for the next week. And I certainly think the energy has been good today, and we need to continue that for the rest of the week and finish off a great week of prep to give ourselves a chance on Sunday.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Matt Ryan says that one of the great things about being a pro, Hugh, is you have to be able to just move on. One of the things that's true about an Atlanta sports fan is that we can't ever move on.
That's a shame then, John. That's a shame because, you know, there's another game to be played, and there's another opportunity out there to win a game. And I know exactly what Matt's talking about. I remember when having losses like that, the first thing that I couldn't wait to go back to practice, because to me practice was an opportunity to get closer to putting that in my rearview mirror, the loss in my rearview mirror, and going out there and just winning a football game. I mean, that's the one thing that I remember about. I used to hate not having practice right away. I used to want to go out there and get to practice like right now because, you know, it was one of those things where, man, I used to hate to lose. And when you lost, you just wanted to make sure you did everything that you possibly can to get on the right side of all of that.
Especially when you lose
in that fashion.
Yeah,
lost in that fashion before, John. Never lost in that fashion before. Could imagine that. That's very devastating. But, yeah, that right there made me couldn't wait to get back on the field.
Of course, nobody's ever lost in that fashion, according to NFL stats and
let
Elias.
It go.
Let no, it go. No, see, we don't let it. It's sort of like, you know, for those of you who are or have ever been married, not that Hugh and I don't have the T-shirts from previous ones, you know that at times you'll get into an argument with your better half, and she will remind you of something that happened that's totally not related, you know, nine years ago.
Yeah, that's marriage, yeah. But, you know, we're supposedly, you know, as a guy, we ain't supposed to do that. But I digress. You know, if that makes you feel warm and fuzzy, go for it.
Good news, bad news for the Atlanta Falcons. Which do you want first? All right, you know what? I'm going to start with the good news first. The good news is, in this list that I'm about to give you, is that according to head coach Dan Quinn, and we trust him at his word, because, you know, you're not going to lie because you get NFL fines, that not wearing masks and all, is that the Falcons do not have any long-term injuries on this team. There are no long-term, you know, there's no Saquon Barkley, no Nick Bosa, no long-term, you know, season-ending injuries on the team or anything like that.
Good news. Good times.
Bad news is, define long-term, because your window right now is one game, considering the way you started, and nine starters did not practice yesterday. Nine.
Here they go. As long as they play on Sunday, man, that's all that matters.
Yeah, when you don't practice on Wednesday, what does it usually mean, Hugh?
It means that you need some rest and that you got to get it all in on Thursday.
Okay, let's hope. Let's see what happens today. Here are the nine that did not practice yesterday.
Todd Gurley, one of them.
Nope, Todd practiced.
Todd practiced? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Kendall Sheffield with his foot.
Okay, Yeah.
Julio with his hammy.
Julio playing, John. Julio going to play.
Rico with his elbow.
Don't know about that one.
KZ with his hip.
Probably got to play. He probably going to have to suck that up.
Foye with his hamstring.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Dante Fowler with his ankle.
Yeah, he got sued up. Gave him too much money.
Jake Matthews with his ankle.
Oh, he playing. He's a Matthews.
Caleb McGarry. That's a good call, by the way. Caleb McGarry with his knee.
Caleb McGarry, probably not.
And Tack with his groin.
Tack's probably going to play, but he's not going to be that effective. I mean, I'm just, you know, he's not going to be that effective.
Yeah, I wonder about Tack, you know, and that injury because, you know, you do have other options in a way. I mean, if Marlon Davidson can go, and it looks like he might be able to, maybe you just go that route this week and let the Rook play and, you know, let Tack, you know, take a week down. I'd love to have him out there, but I think that, you know, I don't know if I want Tack at 75 or 80% at the risk of having Tack at 75 or 80% against Aaron Rodgers if we can get Tack up to, like, 90 or 95% for that game.
John, I don't know how severe his groin pull is. I don't. But as a guy who had one that was pretty severe and tried to play the whole season with it, it's debilitating. No question about it, because it's certain things that you try to do, especially as a defensive end, that you're not going to be able to do. You know, so and for Tack, he needs to be out there because this is a contract year. This is a year where, you know, if he doesn't get it done, then Tack's not going to be an Atlanta Falcon. So he's in a bad spot when it comes to that, John. You know, he has to play. You know, and that's just the reality of the situation. Now, he's going to have to try to do the best that he possibly can at getting pressure on the quarterback and all that other good stuff because of that fact. But, yeah, he's in a bad spot as far as that's concerned.
No, and to your point here, I mean, we'll see who does practice today. Like, for example, I see Rico with his elbow, and I'm sure that it's bothering him. But knowing Rico Allen the way we do, you know, shoot me up, let me go. I think Rico's going to be playing because, you know, he's too – even if he's not – even if he's a little bit limited, or maybe even a lot limited in what he can do with it with one particular arm, I think it's his left elbow, if I'm not mistaken, his value to this team of being on the field, the way he, you know, quarterbacks that defense is way too, I mean, it's way too intense. So, I mean, let's see if we can't get, I think Rico will be probably out there here. But the good news is that we may see Marlon Davidson. I'm not sure when we're going to see Kendall Sheffield.
Yeah, you know. I mean, that boot injury must be a lot worse than, you know, we thought, I mean, to be honest, you know, for him to still be dealing with that, so yeah.
Well, they say that it's not season ending. That doesn't mean there isn't some kind of a break in there that, you know, might take half a season to, I mean, but they haven't put him on the injured list, so we'll see, you know. And according to Dan Quinn, you know, hey, listen, we got a lot of bumps and bruises, not unlike a lot of teams. And this is something that Will Carroll, who we'll talk to later on today, warned us of 3 weeks ago, Hugh, when we start looking at things like Julio's hammy, Foye's hammy, and Tack's groin, that we were going to have a lot of soft tissue issues early in the season for a lot of teams. The Falcons aren't alone.
Yeah, I mean, that's right now, John, that's what everybody's dealing with the drama as far as, you know, injuries and guys being, you know, hurt. But like my coaches say all the time, the difference between being hurt and injured. So you got to figure out which one you are. And I think even Coach Quinn alluded to something like that. You know, guys got to figure out where you are, because it's like, you know, when you're in a situation where you still got a lot of football left to be played, but you're in a dire situation as far as you want to win a game, man. You want to get that nasty taste out your mouth. You know, you want to get on the winning side of things, because I know it has to be tough. And not only that, John, knowing like a lot of guys have peers that play in the NFL. And I'm pretty sure some cats got some calls. Like, dog, what happened? Like, you know, and that's all you got to say. Like, dog, what happened? And you got to answer those questions. Like, I mean, what was going on? Like, I mean, what happened? You know? So, yeah, mm-hmm. you want to make sure you get on the positive side of this thing as soon as you possibly can.
This being Thursday means Julio will speak today, and we'll find out more about his hamstring, and we'll see what he has to say about that. He was playing through a lot of pain last week. I haven't had a groin, but I have had a hammy, and boy, it took a long time for that hammy to, you know, I mean,
you pulled your hamstring, John.
Yeah, I've told you that story. Playing softball in Chattanooga.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but you normally fast people plans.
Yeah, I had some wheels when I was younger. This is a long time ago.
I'm just saying, John. I mean, I'm not saying you weren't fast, but I'm just saying usually that's like a fast person's injury. Like me personally, I've never pulled a hammy. I've never pulled one. That's like one of them, like, you know, that's like speed merchant fast, like when they pull a hammy. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Just the overextending round at third base. That's all.
Gotcha.
Yeah. The team spoke yesterday. One of the good news on the injury front is Keanu Neal is healthy and playing well. And, you know, knock on wood here, Keanu stays healthy. Keanu was saying stuff yesterday.
Just bought? Is that new wood you just bought? That's why you're knocking on it?
No, this is the old table.
That new fangled wood?
No, this is the old table. but it suffices. Keanu talking yesterday and saying stuff here. Listen to what Keanu Neal had to say.
We're all tied in and connected, so we don't ever point fingers at anyone. That never happens here in this organization. But yeah, like I said, the whole 1-0 aspect, I mean, this is a new week. The biggest thing is being Chicago. You know, it was a tough loss, but I mean, we can't hold our heads down.
All right, he wants to pretend the first two games didn't count. 1-0, okay, fine. I mean, I'll go with you on that. You know, and then, of course, but the first two did count. But, all right, I understand where he's coming from here. It wasn't like there were preseason games that actually counted. But I get where he's coming from. But pointing fingers, Hugh? You think there's a little bit of that going on, maybe privately?
If it is, John, nobody's mentioning it. Nobody's going to sit there and be like, man, you know, you'll probably say it to your wife or somebody like that. But you're not about to bring that to light. You're not going to do that.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't. I don't know how you sit there and
because,
go.
Because, John, you're a professional. You don't do that. I mean, the locker room is a different breed, man. I know how it was when I was in the locker room, and we never did anything like that. That was not what we did.
Yeah, how are you watching that play and having the whole room going, what the hell were you guys thinking?
I'm just, you know what? No, you're in that room talking about, man, I'm glad that wasn't me.
Right.
Damn, I'm glad I wasn't out there.
Yeah. No, good call.
I know you're embarrassed right now. What did they say? The whole town's laughing at me.
Oh, God bless America. NFL week number 3 kicks off tonight with Thursday Night Football. And did you hear? You think you've got problems? The LA Chargers have an unqualified doctor or something. Who knows? We'll talk about that in a moment. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and worldwide at radio.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Fairburn.
What's happening?
It's Andy Bunker here from the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Thanks for listening to us every weekday from 10 to 2 on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Thursday Night Football for you tonight here as we have Miami and Jacksonville, the Dolphins and the Jags. That'll kick off week 3, not the most sterling of matchups, but, you know, Jacksonville wins this game. Suddenly they're 2-1, and they'd be a bit of a player in the AFC South. We'll see how this game kind of unfolds tonight, and that will kick us into another big week of the NFL. One of the games, Hugh, welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. The Carolina Panthers, who have their own issues with Christian McCaffrey being out for who knows how long, are going to go on to the West Coast to face the LA Chargers. But they go out there with maybe the most bizarre injury I don't know if I've ever heard of anything quite this weird.
No, I know what you're talking about. I heard it too, yeah.
I mean, you have injuries where, you know, there was a, you know, the famous that, now, of course,
my bad.
The bug story about, you know, Jeff Kent washing his car, or Clint Barmas, the Rockies, which was true, the Rockies star young third baseman who ended up ruining his career by carrying a deer up the stairs and blowing his leg out after he went hunting. But never seen a team doctor. Tyrod Taylor gets an injured rib, you know, and guys get shot up. We all know that, right? You shoot up the elbow, you shoot up a wrist, you shoot up whatever. I mean, you've been down that road before. But Tyrod Taylor, so the team doc goes in there to, you know, kind of with the cracked rib, and is going to give him a painkiller. It goes too far and sticks the thing right in his lung, punctures his lung.
Yeah, and then hit him with the my bad. hit him with my bad, dog. hey, yeah, hold up. Wait a minute. Because, like, you're supposed to know, like, a doctor, like, that's what you go to school for, don't it, to know the anatomy. I mean, I know everybody's body's a little different, but not that much different. Where the lungs are and everything else are kind of like in the same place for everybody. for him to do that. And then hit him with the my bad.
My bad. Right, yeah. Anthony Lynn, head coach of the L.A. Chargers, about this weird thing that has taken out his starting quarterback.
I'm not angry at all. You know, it happens. It's 2020. You know? And like I said, I can't go into details about it, but it was a complication with the shot, and you know, no one's perfect. You know, I don't think anyone on this Zoom is perfect. So it happens, but I know the doctors, I know he's a good man. It's just unfortunate.
Yeah, it doesn't happen, Anthony. It's never happened. I've never heard of this.
It happens, but it's just like, for me as a player, Doc, you can't touch me. Like, for real. I'm feeling some kind of way about that. You got to buy me a couple drinks or a nice little necklace or something in order for me to be comfortable with you, like, doing anything as far as helping me out again. Like, I feel some kind of way behind that. I would definitely feel some kind of way behind that.
You know, if I'm Tyrod's agent, I'm knocking on the door of the team going, okay, how much money are we talking about here? I'm suing you.
Come on, man. You ain't.
I'm telling you.
You suing folks, John.
Yeah. If you were my career.
John, he's still going to play. He just a little tender. I mean,
not necessarily. What if Justin Herbert goes out and balls out this week and Tyrod never sees the field again?
John, that's a chance you take all the time. I mean, anytime you go out there.
Well, yeah.
This is out of your control. But still, I mean, you can't. Come on, man. You talking about suing folks? Come on.
I don't know. There'd be somebody out there on Twitter. Tell me if there's I would think malpractice issues come into this. Seems to me.
He's ending his own career. You understand this, right? Like, no team is going to sign him after he's brought litigation upon the team. Like,
I mean, there's that, John. I mean, yeah.
All right, we'll just move on. I'm not going to get into a debate over this.
Yeah, this ain't the – no, I'm saying this ain't the first doctor. Like, this is probably the first one we've heard of, but, John, this ain't the first time the doctor has screwed up like that.
No, I know. That's why they have malpractice insurance. I mean, when I say sue, he's not – he's going after the malpractice.
Okay, I mean, you know, that's fine. I mean, if that's what you want to do, then you done playing probably – like he said, you probably done playing anyway.
You know, the San Francisco 49ers, nobody's been more banged up than the San Francisco 49ers. You know, unbelievable rash of injuries because they've been so devastating to the team. We know about Nick Bosa and Mostert and on and on and on. Jimmy Garoppolo, their starting quarterback, has a high ankle sprain. They're going to start Nick Mullins. Nick Mullins.
Who?
In their game. Yeah, Nick Mullins. Right? So Nick Mullins is going to start for the San Francisco 49ers. Now, you know, here's me being in. How much of a break do the San Francisco 49ers get in terms of they get back-to-back games in New York, so they don't have to travel. So they play the Jets and the Giants both back-to-back. So they spend both weeks
in the same stadium.
In the same stadium.
You ain't got to move your stuff out the locker. You probably get the same locker.
Yeah. And Hugh, you're playing the Jets and the Giants. And the Giants got no Saquon Barkley. They're all banged up, too. I mean, as banged up as you are, you may still win the game. Because the Giants are – you're playing arguably the two worst teams of football back-to-back. Talk about a break from the schedule maker. But it's San Francisco in a world of hurt. You know, I was just looking down the schedule here. Nick Mullins going to start at quarterback. Well, Denver's got – they had Jeff Driscoll. They had to go out on the waiver wire and get Blake Bortles.
Yeah, Blake gets another opportunity. You know, hey, take advantage of it, man. You never know. I mean, the beautiful thing about being a quarterback in the NFL – is that you're always going to get another opportunity. You're going to get an opportunity. No question about that. You're going to get an opportunity. And what you do with that opportunity, you know, is up to you. Because you're gonna get a chance to play. That's just how it is. You know, who's the one quarterback that goes home, he gets like $1,200 a month? Or, no, $12,000 a month or something like that? McCown? Like that, who wouldn't want to do that? You get to go home and coach your high school football team, and you get a check in the mail for what, $12,000 a week? Come on, man, fix it. Fix it, Jesus. Fix it. Fix it for real.
And Denver is all back. And see, this is how lucky did Brady and Tampa Bay get? No Drew Locke, no Cortland Sutton, no Von Miller. I mean, Denver's all another one of those teams. You know, we sit here and talk about the Falcons' injuries, but you look at the Giants, you look at San Francisco, you look at Denver, those three especially. And, you know, Tampa Bay goes into Denver. They get a huge break. Denver is – they lost their best defensive player, arguably their best offensive player in Sutton, their starting quarterback. They got Blake Bortles playing. Oh, gosh, you know what? That's what you call catching a break. You know, I mean, so Carolina gets a break because the Chargers team doctor, who I still think is going to get sued, is
–
Who's going
to sue him, John?
I think Tyrod's agent is going to sue him. You?
Okay. Okay, yeah, we'll see.
Well, the NFLPA, has got to be out there going, what the hell is this?
John, with the do you really think that this is the first time somebody's lungs been punctured? Seriously, you really think this is the first time that this has happened? Like, there's been
a team doctor has punctured a player's lung? Yeah, I think
you think this is the first time the team doctor has screwed up?
No, okay. I'm not saying they haven't screwed up. Okay. I've never heard of anybody puncturing a lung. I mean, maybe it's happened. I've never heard of this. This is like a first to me. Anyway, neither here nor there. But I'm just talking about how much of a break did Tampa Bay, teams in our division, get. Tampa Bay goes to Denver, and Denver suddenly, you know, they're missing everybody. Carolina goes to the Chargers. Suddenly the Chargers starting quarterback has this weird thing happen to him, right? I mean, oh, come on. The good news, I guess, in the division is that the Weiner Swampers and Drew Noodle, they don't get such a break because they got to host the Packers this week, you.
John, the level of glee in your voice.
Yeah.
I don't even know. You
can I sing the song? Can I sing the song? Can I please sing the song?
No, go for it. Go for it, John.
Go, Pack, go. I don't even know if it's a song. I'm making it up. Go, Pack, go. Go, Pack, go. Whatever you Packers fans sing, okay? Dallas at Seattle. How about that game this weekend?
That's going to be a good one. I mean, especially, like, they're looking at, who was that? I heard Andy Bucky Pants talk about yesterday. We made both of those quarterbacks the player of the week the week that they played us.
Yeah, right. Right. Right.
I was listening to Bucky Pants the other day, and he said that, and I was like, damn. So the thing, like, for you to be that gleeful over what somebody else is doing, I find that fascinating, number one. And number two, I'm thinking we better not make Mitchell Trubisky we better not make him the player of the week. That better not happen. Like, if that happens, that's a bad day. That is a bad day.
Well, it's all I got right now, Hugh. I mean,
I know, John, I'm picking on you.
You know, I mean, just, it's all I got. All right. Two games involve two teams playing each other.
Hold up. Somebody just sent me a. You might have something. Somebody just sent me something, John. Huh. They said, read the article about the doctor. He's a little shady. He has a history of malpractice, or should I say a history of being accused of malpractice.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Look, my man, Pastor Marcus, sent me this. He said, hey, you look at the story. Hey, but still, this is the thing, Pastor Marcus. If he's a team doctor, he's sanctioned by the team. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I mean, this gets interesting. This really gets interesting.
It's a weird story. Like, I've never heard of it happening. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. That is crazy.
Two games involving 2-0 teams against each other, Rams at Buffalo, and then, of course, that Monday night showdown. Well, next Monday we're going to be talking about it. Next Tuesday we're going to be talking about it. That Kansas City-Baltimore game. Whew. The game that we should have gotten last year that we didn't get. Oh, we're getting it Monday night. Boy, that's going to be huge, Kansas City and Baltimore. On Monday night. It is the morning show with John and Hugh as we continue. Speaking of things that are weird out there, did you see the SEC media and who they picked to win the SEC this year, the East and the West? They've made their predictions. We'll see if you agree with them. We'll tell you who the favorites are next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and worldwide at radio.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Download the Radio.com app and take us with you wherever you go.
Just go! Catch up on the latest Atlanta sports, no matter where you are. If Atlanta sports matter to you,
get the Radio.com app and never miss a thing.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on this Thursday, kind of rainy and overcast fall Thursday. Feels like football out there, doesn't it? Well, we got a lot of football to talk about. And, of course, we have Thursday night football with the Miami Dolphins and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not a whole lot. I think one college game tonight, and it's like South Alabama and, I don't know, somebody else. UAB maybe in South Alabama, something like that. Mm-hmm. Is the only Thursday night game that I think is out there on the slate. Nothing against those teams. It's just nothing huge. But we are counting down here to noon Saturday, Hugh, when the SEC kicks off and we get the first of a taste of SEC football this year. And going to be, I know, a lot of anxious fans to see what their team has. Going to be a lot of fun. So the media went out there yesterday and picked the SEC. And, Hugh, they came out with Alabama's an overwhelming favorite, by the way, to win it all. But they came out in the – well, I think they're starting Mac Jones.
Who?
Not Bryce Young.
I'm sorry. I'm just petty. I just like saying that. I'm sorry about that.
Go ahead, you. This is all you.
No, that's you, John. You. I said it. Because who they so many players, John?
Who?
You're
not Bryce Young.
You're doing it wrong, John. Hey, but I like that drop, though. When I say that, you got to start playing that, boy. Hey, you got to do that, boy.
So Alabama gets 86 first-place votes in the West, and then LSU finishes second with 8 first-place votes, which surprises some people, I think. When you lose Joe Burrow, I mean, notwithstanding, you know, all the wide receivers that are gone. I mean, LSU's got oodles of talent. Nobody's arguing that.
Yeah, but they got a pretty good defense, too. They do.
But when you lose, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and you lose all this talent, at some point, you'll wonder, certain teams, has LSU gotten to that point where
they reload?
Where they reload, like Clemson or Alabama?
Yeah, I think that you talk about the season that Joe Burrow had at LSU, and then you talk about just basically what he looked like he could potentially be in the NFL now, you're looking like, man, that cat, he might be hard to replace. I mean, that's just the reality of it. He might be hard to replace. So that's how you're kind of looking at LSU right now. I mean, there's still a lot of question marks, but I think that they still have some talent. But I don't expect the quarterback play to be like it was when Joe Burrow was back there. No, not at all.
Yeah, so LSU number 2 surprises some people. Auburn comes in at number 3 in the West. Texas A&M at number 4. And more interestingly, Texas A&M gets 2 first-place votes from the, 96 voters. A&M's an interesting team. I know a lot of people are going, oh, the perennial 7-5 Aggies. Who in the world thinks they're going to be? You know, when you have a senior quarterback like Kellen Mond and Jimbo Fisher's been recruiting well, I have no doubt that at some point, let's keep in mind, Jimbo Fisher changes the arc of Texas A&M. Yes, they have been, Hugh, perennial underachievers. There are 3 or 4 programs out there in college football that have underachieved to the max, given the ability to recruit and what's around them, Notre Dame being most notable, but because Notre Dame should be Alabama. They should be winning titles. They get whoever they want. They're Notre Dame.
They do well until they play a good team, a really good team.
Right. But A&M's another one that has been a perennial underachiever. I think that changes under Jimbo Fisher, you would think. And so will that be this year? I don't know. One of the things is, you know, as long as we've had A&M in the SEC, they've really only had, Hugh, frankly, one big moment. I mean, they had that 8 overtime game and things of that nature. But really, the Johnny Manziel win
over Bama,
yeah, that was it. You know, that's their one, you know, really huge moment in the SEC. So those are the top 4, and then Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Arkansas finish out the West. Not a surprise. You have 2 new coaches, though. I got to say, the 2 new coaches at Ole Miss and Mississippi State make me want to watch those two. The Egg Bowl is going to be something that.
Yeah, I want to see it because one of my frat brothers, Jamar Chaney, used to play for the Philadelphia Eagles, play linebacker. He's a coach there. He's a young coach there at Mississippi State. So, pulling for him down there.
Well, they're going to be good copy. Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach are going to be good copy. That's all I can tell you. In the East, Florida gets the nod over Georgia. So 53 first-place votes for Florida, 43 for Georgia, and some Dogs fans, Hugh, are in their feels, as the kids like to say.
Is that right? Got to go out there and prove it, man. You can't really worry about what somebody else is thinking. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Everybody's not going to feel the same way that you feel about your Dogs. Dogs got to go out there and they got to prove it.
And the quarterbacking situation is still unsettled.
Yeah, it's still up in the air.
You know, right.
Because if you look at our lads, They got the young man from SC start. They got him as the starter, you know.
Well, I think if he's healthy, he starts.
What'd you say?
I think if JT Daniels is healthy and gets cleared from his, you know, the second knee procedure, I think he starts. The question is, does he get cleared?
He's not healthy this weekend.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking, right?
And then you're talking about DeJuan might, like, so there's an opportunity there to be, you know, to go out and show what you can do. Like, you know, to leave no doubt in anybody's mind. Especially when you talk about JT Daniels being a potential statue back there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Georgia may end up with a two-quarterback system this year. I mean, that just may be kind of what they do.
You mean you go from a statue to a more mobile quarterback? That's what they're going to do?
Well, it depends on how good and accurate. One thing about JT Daniels, could throw the football. I mean, if you are playing from behind at all, or, you know, you need
to
put it in the air.
But you know what the problem with that is, John? As a defender, as a former defender, that's a huge key, because you know what he's not going to do. You know what I mean? You know he's not going to run. So that takes a lot of pressure off your defense when you have a quarterback back there that's a statue, and he's not going to be able to take off. So you could be a little bit more aggressive in what you call defensively. And, you know, as a defensive lineman, you don't have to be take precautions as far as your pass rush is concerned. You can jump inside, and, you know, you can take chances when it comes to that pass rush, as opposed to playing against a quarterback who could take off and hurt you in the run game.
Yeah, we've talked about this. We screamed about it on the radio last year that Kirby has to evolve the offense, but he doesn't seem to be fine.
Yeah, no, you screamed about it, John. I was kind of in the past a little bit.
I think Kirby is too. I think he's still stuck in the past. Otherwise, why would you say, yeah, bring JT Daniels to Georgia unless you really want to run a pro-style offense with a, you know, kind of old-school quarterback, which is what apparently he still wants to do.
Well, I think that you know, even when you look at the newfangled quarterbacks and the evolution of quarterback position now, you know, it's great to have a quarterback that can run and everything, but you still, for the most part, you got to win from the pocket. And you saw even with Patrick Mahomes last year, you know, he did most of his damage from the pocket, you know, but the threat of him being able to run and having that athleticism is always something that's in the back of a defender's mind.
So Georgia ends up second to Florida, Tennessee at third. The Vols are going to be interesting to watch this year, and I know a lot of Big Orange fans are all excited because of the way they finished the year, not the way they started the year. Let's not forget they lost to Georgia State in the opening game, but they finished strong, and we'll see what Tennessee has with Garantano back at quarterback and the recruiting classes that Jeremy Pruitt's gotten in Knoxville. They were certainly, it seems like they're going to be, you know, a better team and more of a contender, and things are going to start to improve for Tennessee. Then Kentucky at four. That's a team to watch out for, Hugh, because, you know, Mark Stoops, we mentioned it yesterday, has done a really good job in building them into, you know, a team that, if they're not a contender, they're no pushover anymore, and so they're always kind of right there. They're the type of team that can beat you if you're not careful.
Yeah, I picked Kentucky, I think, a couple years ago to try to make some noise. They've been close. They've had some pretty good teams. I think they're a little bit in rebuilding mode, John. I don't think I wrote down the starting quarterback for Kentucky, but yeah, they're a team that they're definitely a lot better than they were a couple years ago.
Then you have South Carolina, Missouri, and Vanderbilt, and South Carolina at five. Will Muschamp and now Mike Bobo as his offensive coordinator. We'll see how much more of a leash, you know, Carolina fans give to Will Muschamp to be able to, because I think, you know, the assumption is that Will Muschamp was brought there to contend for an SEC title and to you know, occasionally maybe, you know, now beat Clemson once in a while. And so far that hadn't happened. So we'll see what, you know, again, are they going to panic now? And because if you get at that wheel of coaches, Hugh, but I also understand that, you know, you can't accept just being fifth every year in the SEC East. I get that.
No, it's a lot of pressure in that SEC, brother.
Morning Show with John and Hugh coming up in the next hour. Jason Longshore on Atlanta United's big win last night and what it really means. And by the way, their former head coach has a new gig. We'll talk to him about that. And Chad Millman will jump into the show and we'll get the insight from the odds expert about who the best bets are for this weekend of football. That's all ahead as we continue with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and worldwide at radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.